We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Ruth tonight. The book of Ruth follows the book of Judges. We're going to be looking at Ruth chapter 1, 16 to 18. We're going to be thinking about this remarkable history of a Moabite woman, how she came to be the great-grandmother of David. We're going to be looking at Ruth chapter 1, 16 to 18. This is God's holy and living and life-giving word. But Ruth said, she's talking here to Naomi, her mother-in-law, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. That's farther reading. Let us pray for a blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us the meaning of this book, that it would teach us, and that your Spirit would apply it to our hearts in a way that it transforms us and helps us to walk faithfully with you. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters, the book of Ruth is a book in the Hebrew order of the Bible in the writings, or sometimes seen as the wisdom books or part of the wisdom books of the Old Testament. It teaches us about how to live and how to live in this world and how to act. And to do that, it takes one of the most challenging relationships across culture. That's not always individually true, but across cultures, daughters and mothers-in-law are often a complicated relationship. But here, it is described in a beautiful way, in a loving relationship between the two, between daughter-in-law and between the mother-in-law. And it gives us an amazing story about sorrow and hope and faithfulness. And all of this takes place in the time of the book of Judges, or right around that time. And its history is filled with some amazing people. Naomi, of course, is a Jewish mother who flees a famine in Israel, ends up losing everything in Moab, including her husband and her two sons. And yet, by the end of it, she receives much more than any son would ever be able to give her. Then we have Ruth, the main person in this story, a Moabite girl who marries Naomi's son, or one of their sons, a Jewish man, and ends up becoming the great-grandmother of David, the most famous king in Israel's history. And then, of course, we have Boaz, who comes towards the end, or the second half of the story, a rich man who is faithful, wise, and generous, who risks his family name and his inheritance to marry this Moabite girl, and by that becomes the great-grandfather of David. But above all, it is a story of Yahweh's providence for those who take refuge in Him. The blessings of Yahweh come to those who live in His land. And we're going to be thinking about that theme of living in His land and what that means. For those who sow in the land of God will reap a reward from Him. More than any other of the wisdom books, the book of Ruth teaches us about the importance of Yahweh's land, Yahweh's domain where He blesses His people. Now, to understand the theme of this book and the message, we're going to be looking at three themes. The first one is blessings come with the harvest. Secondly, blessings come with loyalty to Yahweh. And third, God's anticipation of the Davidic line through Ruth. Let's begin with this first theme. Blessings come with the harvest. Now, to understand this theme and really the book of Ruth, I think we need to go back into time and understand a little bit of the times of the Old Testament and really the theology of the Old and New Testament. But I think this has kind of been moved away from us. The ancient people, especially the ancient Israelites, understood that land is connected to God. We see this in the Old Testament unfold. In one sense, in Genesis 1, God is the God of all the earth, of every piece of land and every square inch of this entire world. But then when we see Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob, there is a specific land where God commands his blessing, where he will care for Israel and bless them. This was not just unique to Israel, that other nations thought the same thing. Their gods was protecting their land. You might have heard about this in the ancient religions of the ancient Near East, where you have the god of fertility or the god of war, the god that would be a mighty god to protect his people, or this god, if they would bring sacrifices to this god, then the women would bear healthy children and all these kind of things. It wasn't much different in Israel, and particularly the promised land. Throughout the Old Testament, there's an emphasis on the promised land as the land where God would bless his people. Some theologians like to draw a triangle where you have God on the top and then the land and the people. And they're a connected triangle. If one of them falls away, the whole structure falls away. God blesses his people in the land where he sends them. So the punishment, if the people are not obedient to God, is he sends them out of the land into exile. And then when he's brings mercy and gives them grace, he brings them back to the land. You see this in the book of Judges over and over and over again. And so you have this theme of the land. Now, particularly harvest time. For it wasn't just that the land would not swallow you up. Yes, it would. But if God would bless the land, he would give it harvest. In other words, he would cause the crops to grow and to bring in abundance so that the people could survive and it would not have famine and die, or at least their young ones would die. And so the theme of Ruth, the story of Ruth, is built around a time of harvest. This harvest theme is built in. There's actually three references to a harvest. It begins, of course, with the famine that causes Naomi and her husband to go out of Israel because there's a famine in the land, and they leave it because she thinks that if she goes to another place, she can survive because there she will be taken care of. Now think about that in the ancient Near Eastern understanding. She goes away from Yahweh's care to outside of God's land and there trusts that that place will be better for her. Now, it's very quick. You don't have to read far to realize that didn't work out. She loses her husband, and then she loses her sons. When she comes back, she said, "Call me Mara, sorrow, for I went away with much from the land of Yahweh, and I came back with nothing." And then there's two mentions to a harvest. One is in Ruth 1:22, where we read, "They came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." And then in Ruth 2:23, we see that Ruth is blessed in Boaz's field as she begins to glean the harvest freely. And we read, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests." Now, these references are not just to kind of give you an idea of what time of the season it was. I think they're very significant because they're references to the providence of God. Naomi have left Yahweh's land, but now she and Ruth are coming back to Yahweh's care. And the question is, will she come back to famine or to blessing? She left with her bags full. She comes back empty-handed. Will she be able to survive under Yahweh's care? Well, let's listen to this. We'll start in Ruth 1:15 to 16. "And she said, 'See, this is Naomi speaking, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where I will go, for where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God be my God. That's Ruth's decision. I'm going to follow Yahweh. I'm going to follow you to Yahweh's land. In fact, right after, she puts a curse on herself, and she says, may the Lord do so to me. And the Lord there is Yahweh. May Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. She says, I will commit my life to you and to the care of your God. So here she is, a Moabite woman who had been married, who's no longer a virgin, a woman meritable or easily meritable. She comes in a land that's not her own, without anything but her mother-in-law who's from that land. She arrives there, and guess what time it is? It is the time of the barley harvest. The first thing she sees and she meets is fields ripe with harvests. She's able to survive that first season because she comes under Yahweh's care. There is hope on the horizon. God was going to be her provider. And so he does. And then we read of the second reference in chapter 2, verse 23. As she's been gleaning through the harvest, it says, and so she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvests. Something has happened. What is going to happen now that the harvest comes to an end? She is not rich. She is able to survive by what she's been able to glean from the field. How is she going to survive with only her mother-in-law? She comes to the end of Yahweh's harvest for the year. But the Lord had provided something else for her. A providence through which she would no longer need to glean herself. Yahweh had provided a provider for her. The harvest, as she was gleaning and faithfully serving her mother-in-law, to gather the harvest in and to help them survive, she had caught the eye of Boaz, a rich man, unmarried, that started to fall in love with this Moabite girl. And so we find Ruth gleaning until the end of the harvest, and then she finds Boaz in chapter 3. And we read in chapter 3, verse 2, is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. The book of Ruth displays Boaz with a winnowing fork in his hand. He will be Ruth's provider under Yahweh's care. The message of Ruth here is clear. Ruth came to Yahweh for refuge. She was a widow, a young widow, which is a terrible place to be. In this time where you were so dependent upon your husband who would own land and would provide for you. And yet, she comes to Yahweh's land and is provided with food until she finds a man, a good man, that is willing to provide and care for her and protect her. And he provides her physical needs for food and her marital needs as a young woman. That's the land of Yahweh in the book of Ruth. And the message is this. If you place yourself in God's land and you trust in the God of the land, the only living God, for all the other gods are false gods and idols, but this is the land, the center of the earth, so to speak, where Yahweh blesses his people. If you come to that land, God will provide for you, no matter what situation you are. Even if you are a foreign Moabite widow, the most unlikely to be blessed, you will be blessed if you trust in God's providence. That's the message. Now you say, should we move to Israel? Should we go to the barley harvest in Israel at that time? Is that the message? No, I think the New Testament transforms the message, but not much. it translates this message into New Testament language. Listen to Ephesians 1 verse 3 and see if you can see the same theme come through as we read in Ruth. It says in Ephesians 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." What has He done? He has made us spiritually alive and placed us into His spiritual eternal kingdom. And in that spiritual eternal kingdom, He has poured out every spiritual blessing that we can possibly need. In the old, it was the physical land where you would be blessed in the Yahweh's care. In the new, the kingdom of God is spreading across the world, where everyone who believes in Christ is like a Ruth that enters into the land, but now it's the eternal kingdom of God, and we receive every spiritual blessing if we trust in His providence. We are like the Moabite young lady that have entered in not into the physical land of Israel, but have come to the kingdom of God, where all the blessings of God's care are now showered upon us. For this place of the world is not just as much created by God as any other place of the world. And Jesus came to bring a spiritual kingdom so that people all across the world would say, "I don't want to walk in my own ways in the kingdoms of this world. I want to follow the King, Jesus Christ." And those who follow the King Jesus Christ will be blessed by the providence of Christ, of God. Beloved, we have come under Yahweh's care, not by the land on which we put our feet, but by the Son in whom we put our faith, in Jesus Christ. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, then we have come under the providential care in the kingdom of God. In the way that God provided for Ruth in her needs of that time, so God will provide for our needs because we have come under the name of God. Brings us to our second theme. Blessings come with loyalty. Blessings come with loyalty to Yahweh, to God. It's closely connected to the first theme, and it is the connection between blessings and loyalty. Ruth swears loyalty to Naomi and Yahweh. Let me read this again. It's such a beautiful passage in 16 and 17 of chapter 1. "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." Ruth swears loyalty to Naomi. She puts her life on the line and says, "May God curse me if I'm not loyal to you, to your God, to your people." The rest of the book of Ruth reveals that she didn't speak empty words. She uprooted her life from where she lived. She learned the language. And she was loyal to Naomi, to Israel, to God, and to the place where she was brought. Now compare this to the end of the story. Chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. The outcome of this bold decision. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife." She's married again to a good man. "And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son." She becomes a mother for the first time. "Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.'" Seven sons is the dream in ancient Israel. Seven sons means a future, a hope, protection, wealth. If you can bear seven sons, you made it. Because they can work and they will provide for you. If you have one, maybe. If you have two, but seven sons? Seven men who will work for the rest of their life? Seven men that can provide for you, their mother? But the women around Naomi realized that this Ruth was better than seven sons. For God's providence was in her life. God cared for Ruth in a remarkable way, that she outshone seven sons. And they blessed this boy that is born of Ruth. Yahweh blessed her with marriage, with a child and an honorable name, unlike any other. All the blessings that she did not have in Moab, she received in the land of Israel because she was loyal. She was faithful to God. She was faithful to her mother-in-law. She was faithful to the people. God blesses those who are faithful to Him. He entrusts His blessing and His work to those who are faithful to Him, to their family, to their people. God can entrust much to those who are faithful. I'm afraid it's a long forgotten word. Faithful. It seems to me that every new generation that arises, the word of loyalty and faithfulness seems to go in decline. Pushed to the edges of our dictionary as an ancient word that used to mean something. We swear and we break our promises. We declare love in the most remarkable words. Our poets write songs about love like never before. And yet, unfaithfulness is on the rise evermore. Not just that. Family appears to be put in the wayside. That's just a necessity. If they don't do what I want to do, if they don't agree with my life choices, I'll find somebody else. No more loyalty, no more faithfulness. It's in decline. But Ruth was loyal. What she said in verses 16 to 18 of chapter 1, she carries all the way through. And by what I can see, Naomi was not a joyful person to live with at times. When she comes back to the country, she says, "Call me Mara, because everything is bad. I'm nothing. My life is ruined. It's all bad." Never does Ruth say, "Well, you go live over there, I go live over here, and I'll send you a little something every now and then." She says, "I will go out into the field and glean. I will do the work of seven men and provide." Are we faithful? Jesus says this in Luke 16, 10 to 13. "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And if one who is dishonest in very little, he is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" In other words, what Jesus said is, God is a wise master. He doesn't give you everything at once and see what you do with it. He will give you a little and see if you're faithful in that little. For if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. Are we faithful in that which God has given us? Are we loyal to the relationships that God has provided for us? Are we faithful to the ones that God has placed in our lives? then God can entrust us with more. And that's the story of Ruth. She was entrusted with a mother-in-law. She married a man. But she received only a mother-in-law and one who was depressed, sorrowful. But she was faithful to him, to her, and to her God, and to the place where she was from, and to the people where she was from. She was faithful. And so God could make her the great-grandmother of David. Isn't that amazing? We never see that Ruth has any particular skill. And doesn't say, oh, she had such a strong back, she carried more buckets than anyone else could. Or she had such quick fingers that she could glean like no one else could. Or she had such an intuitive business mind that she was able to produce her own crops. Nothing of the sort. She only has one thing going for her, and it's faithfulness. Loyal faithfulness. And that loyal faithfulness makes her, at the end of the story, the great-grandmother of the greatest king, out of whom the seed that would crush the head of the serpent would come. So don't look at yourself and say, I don't have many gifts. Or I don't have a great ability that everybody can see. I'm not able to do great things. The question is, are you loyal? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to the things and the people that God has given you? If you are, He can entrust you with much, either in this world or in the world to come. We don't have time to trace that, but we see that Jesus says that multiple times. That Jesus, that God is watching us, how we live and how we deal with the things that we've been given here, so that He can give us much in the future. Brings us to the last theme. And of course, we cannot skip over this theme. For this is not just the story of Ruth, a Moabite woman that becomes part of the Jewish people. It is the story of faithfulness in the Davidic line. Listen to this in Ruth 4:18-22. Now these are the generation of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. The marvel of this story is to realize who Ruth was and who David was. Ruth was a Moabite, the offspring from Moab, the son of Lot's daughter, who was conceived in sin. You remember that, the story? The story of Lot. That Lot's daughter caused their father to be drunk, to have a child together. That's Ruth's line. I mean, that doesn't sound like royalty. And yet out of this line of what was considered an immoral people comes a young lady so pure, so faithful, so wonderful that she is chosen by God to become the great-grandmother of David himself. David would be and still is one of the most famous kings of Israel, the forefather of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The house, the kings, the royal house that would be honored above all royal homes in Israel. Ruth's loyalty and faithfulness and devotion engrafted her into the Davidic line, into the line that would see the world, or that see the sun crush the serpent's head. The story of Ruth teaches us that loyalty, devotion, and faithfulness leads to honor, glory, and riches in God's economy. Ruth was a girl of small beginnings, but ends with a great future, for she was faithful. And God let come out of her womb, ultimately, the king of Israel, David. Which brings us to the application. And my apologies, the application in your bulletin is not the correct application. If you were here on the service of crops and industry, that was the application that you see there. Our application tonight is you reap what you sow. The book of Ruth is a positive example of what you reap is what you sow. And I think that is still true today. What you reap is what you sow, brothers and sisters. Ruth sowed faithfulness and she reaped blessings from Yahweh. She sowed loyalty and she reaped a happy home. She sowed devotion to her family and to her family's God, and she reaped honor and stature. What a contrast with Orpha, her sister-in-law. She chose safety and the comfort of her home, and she is forgotten in the pages of world history. She is the other sister that went back. Now, the book of Ruth never condemns her. It doesn't say she made a bad choice. But she's forgotten. History went on, and she's just the contrast by which Ruth's faithfulness is shown. The only thing we know about her is that she lost her husband and left her mother-in-law to go off by herself to Israel. So which one are you? Which one am I? Are we Orpha or Ruth? Do we trust in our own ways, the things that are comfortable to us, what is most convenient to us today? My life, my hopes, protecting my little sphere and the things that I'm comfortable with? Or are we like Ruth, who puts her hope in the God of Israel? This is ultimately the question we should ask ourselves. Are we going to live lives like Ruth, sowing by faith in God, being faithful and loyal to Him? Or are we going to go like the rest of the world and live by the eyes of the flesh? Who are you? To whom are you faithful? To whom are you loyal? To your own logic or to the God of the Bible? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would place in our hearts a desire to be faithful, to be like Ruth towards our family here, towards the people around us, towards you, our God. Lord, help us to trust in you and to be loyal, to be faithful. For there you command your blessings. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.